Morning, Booker Tov. Today's daf is Tainus Daf Chav Zayin. Tainus Chav Zayin comes to the stretch run, last couple of blah in the Masechta. We're continuing our discussions. Yesterday we focused very much on the Ma'abades. We continue actually today's daf will, I think the first part will focus a little more on the Mishmaris, the 24 Mishmaris of Kehanim. Maybe then we'll get into towards later in the daf, back to the sage, the Ma'abades, the Pesukim they read, how they divided the Aliyahs, and so on and so forth. We actually reached the two dots at the top of Chav Zayin Amrav. We are officially up to date so far. Says the Gemara by two dots, four lines down at the top of the page. Elam Amadis, Lefishanemar, Savas Ben Yisrael. So the Mishnah said, these are the Mamadis. You pointed out when we read the Mishnah, these are the Mamadis. And then it went into the reason for the Mamadis. It's funny, by saying these are the Mamadis, it would think you would go to describe what the Mamadis were, which the Mishnah does subsequently get into. The fact that they fasted, those are parentheses, the fact that they fasted Monday through Thursday, the fact that they named Psukim, but the Mishnah digresses right into why there was mamadas. So the merchant is bothered. My Kamer, how do you read those that line of the Mishnah? These the mamadas, and then the fish and emar. Answers the Gemara Chachamar. Elohim mamadas umatam tikar mamadas. It's as if the Mishnah has the words inside it, whether it's actually it was sticking in the girsa or it's like a chazir mechzera, but read it as if it says it. But the point is, stick in the words matam. So the fish and emar is explaining the matam. Why were there misakam mamadas b'chal before we even get to the fact that the description of what these mamadas were, why they're mamadas b'chal, the fish and emar, and I'm going to quote this chazar of the Mishnah, tzavis meni sol, v'amart lehem is kabin lachmi v'ishai, that the Kali Yisrael is supposed to bring a carbon tamid every day. It's a communal carbon. It belongs to the tzibur. Hey, kabin hashadam, karav, v'in amin agabah, v'akar person's carbon be brought without him being amin agabah. The person must be amin agabah. He's supposed to be there when it's present, when his carbon is being offered. His kin nevim rishayin amin esravam mishmaris, the nevim rishayin amin misakin. And again, it's all chazar from Mishnah. 24 mishmaris. Akomish mishmar, fish mishmar, hayimam bishlaim, shakanim, shalavim. Yisraelim, for each mishmer, there was a maimon Yishlaim of Kahanim, Levim, Yisraelim. He gives man mishmer lalis Kahanim, Levim, Eilim, Yishlaim. The zman of the Aliyah, the zman of the mishmer, we reached for them to go be Eila. So the Kahanim Levim went up to Aveda, and the Yisraelim they went to Shul and they did the maimadis process as the Mishnah described. The point just is that this is all in order to have representation for the tzibur, that these people represent the tzibur as being Aymed al-Gabi, the carbon. They're standing over the carbon. They're the shluchim of the tzibur to represent on their behalf for the carbon. That's the reason. That's the matam. So again, the whole question was, it didn't ask for a reason and it gave a reason. The answer is, read it as if it says matam. What's the reason? That's all very simple. Shaka v'dayah. Tanabon. Esrim v'arba Mishmaris Eretz Yisrael. There are 24 Mishmaris in Eretz Yisrael, Shaimas Merichai, and 12 in Yerichai, which sounds like a total of 36. Obviously, if the number is supposed to be 24, and you already have 24 in Eretz Yisrael, and you're adding another 12 in Yerichai, it's 12 more than the 24. Shaimas Merichai, Nefesh Tuva. That gives us much more than the total of 24 that we know about. El Shaimas Merichai, Mehem Yerichai. It means 12 of the 24 were in Yerichai. So there's 24 Mishmaris, 12 of which were stationed in Yerichai. This discussion, the Gemara is actually going to you can explain how this fits in the Brisa. He gives by the Mishmar Lalis when it reached time for the Mishmar to go up. Chatzia Mishmar Ha'ayla Meretz Yisrael Lishlayim. And the Chatzia Mishmar Ha'ayla either Mirich or Lirich. And what do they do? Because they speak by the Mazlachim Shivishlayim. Half the Mishmar that go to Shlayim to do the Avaid with what they're supposed to do. And the other half of the Mishmar either went to Yerich or remained in Yerich in order to prepare food, in order to take care of the needs of the rest of the Mishmar that went to Yerushalayim. The point really is that now we're explaining a little deeper. It's not the pshat that the 24 mishmaris and 12 stayed in Yerichai and 12 went to Yishlayim. Of the 24 mishmaris, half of each mishmer would go to Yerichai, and half of that same mishmer would stay, so would go to Yerushalayim. So again, it's not that half the mishmaris were stationed and half weren't. Half of each individual mishmer, the mishmaris was split. Some say Yerichai and some say Yishlayim. That's the simple reading of our Gemara. The other Malcham, that's the simple reading of our Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Kahanim Levim Yisraelim Akvas Karben. Kahanim Levim Yisraelim, the presence of having Kahanim Levim Yisraelim as part of this maimon amidst this mishmer is ma'akev the carbon. Machloikis in the mafreshim, what does it mean ma'akev the carbon? Typically ma'akev means, it's ma'akev means an ikuva. The carbon would be pusel if you bring a carbon without having kahanim levim yisraelim as a mishmer / maimed. That is the simple type of ma'akev. However, some mafreshim learn ma'akev means over here, it means literally, it's ma'akev, it delays. They wait for the Kohanim Levim Yisraelim to be present in order to bring the carbon, but not that if the carbon is brought without them, the carbon would be pasul. Makar just means, in Makar, it holds, literally, the little text of Makar means, it holds it back. It holds it back, it's Makar, it holds it back, it delays it, but the Evid, it would still be kosher. That's how some of us learn the word Makar Avir, not like the typical usage of Makar, where we say Makar means, it's Makar, even with the Evid, that the carbon would be pasul. Masit Tanan was taught in a Braisa, Rav Shimon Elazar says, Kohanim, Kohanim Levim uklei shir makvis carbon. So he sticks in the word klei shir. Kohanim Levim and the klei shir's makvis carbon. He adds in klei shir. Makvis carbon was the machlokes between these two different shitas. One quotes klei shir, that's Rishon Lazar, and one doesn't. Marsaver ikashir bepeh. Marsaver ikashir bekli. The simple machlokes is this idea we've had before: whether ikashir is bepeh with the mouth, or ikashir is bekli. If ikashir is bekli, the klei is makiv. If ikashir is bepeh, then of course the klei is not makiv. Interesting idea from Tesis. You jump into the bottom Tesis says, Marsav Ikashir Bepe, Vulakacha Kok Sherim, Afilu Psulim, Afilu Mamzerim. Mam is counterintuitive. If I was to ask you, when would you say that a Balmum is kosher to do the Shir? We know Balmum sometimes I can't do Avodah, that we know. But what about for Shira? When would you say Balmum is kosher for Shira and when is he Pasul? So my gut would say that if the Ikashir is Bepe, so the instrument, so to speak, doing the Shira is the person's body, so if it's Balmum, yeah, that would be a problem. But if the Ikashir is Bekli, so even if it's Balmum, it's okay, as long as he has a proper kli, he could do shira. Tais says exactly opposite. Tais says if the kishir is bepeh, so you're not using a kli sharis, so therefore it's okay even if it's a balmum. But if the kishir is bekli, then it gets a din like a kayan, just like a kayan does his kli sharis vavoida. So to the levim when they're doing the shira, they're using a kli sharis, and when they're using kli sharis, you can't be balmum. So it's Tais says opposite what one would have thought, that the pasulus of balmum is specific enough kamina between kishir bepeh and kishir bekli, ain't enough because they always the kher used. Both, an afkamina would be whether or not a balmum is kosher. If ikashir is bepeh, balmum is kosher. If it's bekli, Taisa says, then a balmum would be possible. Interesting idea from this bottom Taisa. Okay. Amar, Rav Chama Bar Guria Amarav. Mesh Tikalem Yisrael Shmanet Mishbaris. Mesh Rabbein, now we're going to the history of the 24 Mishbaris. Mesh was Mesach of Kali, so 8 Mishbaris. Abraham Elazar, Rav Dal Mishmar. 4 from Elazar, 4 from Mishmar. That was the first 8 Mishbaris. Bar Shmuel Vamid, Moshe Shesre. Shmuel came and doubled the number to 16 Mishbaris. But Dov Avido, Esam Rabbi Dov came in, added another 8 to get from 16 to 24. Shemar Bishnas Abram Lamalchus David Nidushu Veimatzibem Gibori Chayal Biyazer Begilad. It was the 40th year of the reign of Dov Melch, and that's when they added these Anshei Chayal. They found them amongst the people Anshei Chayal. That's when they added to the Mishmaris from 16 to 24. Meisve, you telling me that Moshe Rabbeinu started with only 8? Meish Tikkun Lemisrael Shmarnet Mishmaris Arba Melas Arba Misamar. So we have over here that Taka, that Moshe Rabbeinu, that's the same. Moshe did 4 and 4. However, but David Shmuel v'amid esav arba. David Shmuel came and jumped it from 8 to 24. Shenemar hema yisid David uShmuel haroya b'manasim. The Bryce says mashma that it was David and Shmuel that together made it 24, not that it was 8 from Moshe, 16 from Shmuel, 24 from David. Sounds like David and Shmuel together jumped from 8 to 24. Hachamar mi yisayda shadavid Shmuel armasi hemidam al-azrab. We can make this two braces shtim that from the edicts of Shmuel, of David and Shmuel, it went from 8 to 24. How? 8 to 16 with Shmuel, 16 to 24 with David. The two braces don't necessarily have to be a steer. There is a brace that clearly argues. Han edach. Mesh tikalem Yisrael, sheish yisim shmuel. This was the thing about before. The Mesh Rabbeinu, according to this braces, did not do 8. Rather, he's Masakin, 16 Mishmaris. Shmainim Elazar, Shmainim Mizamar. 8 from Elazar, 8 from Mizamar. Not 4 and 4, rather 8 and 8. Because Shobin B'nai Elazar, Abnei Tamar. And when the children of Elazar, they outnumbered, they were much more numerous than the B'nai Samar. Chilkav Amidim Asim Abba. They divided the Mishmaris again, and therefore the number became 24. Namely, Elazar was divided from 8 into 16. The summer stayed the same as 8, so 8 plus 16 is 24. Shenemar, v'ematzu b'nei lazer rabim, l'rashe k'var min b'nei isamar. V'chakam b'nei lazer rashe l'beis avais, shishasar, that they divided the b'nei lazer from 8 into 16. L'bnei isamar, l'beis avais v'shmainab, and the b'nei isamar remained the original 8. V'yayimer, and a further passage to this idea, b'nei av echad achas l'lazer, v'achas achas l'isamar. The b'nei av, one extra family was added for Lazar, but for Yisamar, the way it was, that's how it remained. My Vayimer, what's the Gemara stressing with the second pasuk of Vayimer to bring out again that a Lazar was added numbers to his Mishmaris as opposed to Yisamar? What's the Vayimer? Chitema hakech nefishim bnei Lazar, hachanam nefishim bnei Yisamar. Shemayinu mei kara, arba havu. They just say this, that both of them grew. They really were like the other brayes said before. They started off with four mishmaris for Isamar, four mishmaris for Elazar. They both grew. Isamar grew from 4 to 8, and Elazar grew much more. He grew from 4 to 16. But maybe they both started at 4 and grew. One grew to 8, one grew to 16. But not that they both started at 8, and Isamar stayed at 8, and Elazar doubled. Maybe that's the mathematics. Again, you always get into 24. The question says how he got there. Machlekes, the Mer suggesting it maybe was they both doubled, but Elazar doubled again. Itamar didn't. Mer says no. Tashema base av echad achas Elazar ve'echas achas litamar. It's in this price it was stressing from the pasuk that the Summer's group stayed the same. It never grew at all. So it makes sense the first version, which was the first version in this most recent brisa, which was that they both started at 8, Elazar doubled to 16, and Isamar stayed the same, but ultimately you have a total of 24. Tiyufta to Rav Chama Bar Guri, ask them one second. Isn't this last brisa? We said before, we started with a member of Rav Chama Bar Guri, Amarav, that Moshe started with 8, 4 and 4. Shmuel took it to 16, David took it to 24. We put a brisa that was a question. We said, nah, not a question, because it's Rav Chama Bar Guri, Rav. Rav could be Tano Palak, but we don't like to have Rav arguing a Braisa. So he wrote a question for the Braisa that sounded like Shmuel and David together jumped from 8 to 24. He said, nah, it was two separate levels. Shmuel did 8 to 16, and David went 24. So that Braisa we answered. But now we're bothered by we have a clear Braisa that argues that says Moshe did 8 for Tamar, 8 for Elazar, and then Elazar doubled to 16. But clearly he started by 8, not at 4. Says my tifta Rav Chama Bar Guri, is this a tifta on Rav Chama Bar Guri? Am Lachama Bar Guri? No, Tanaihi. It's a machlekes Tanaim. Va'anadami ki Tana Damar Shmoina. It's clearly a machlekes in the brises. It's a machlekes brises. How it was? Was it 4-4 and then it grew from 16 and then 24, or was it already 8 and 8 to begin with? It's machlekes brises. I subscribe to the brises. That's a 4 and 4, not the brises that starts at 8 and 8. Okay, Tanaban. This machlekes, by the way, in the Rishenim, how far we're taking these drushes, these are smachtas, or these real drushes, meaning, is the din of mishmaris the din daraisa to have these different mishmaris, or is it more of an smachtas in drabanim, and these are more of a smachtas? Again, historically we're saying it happened, but he was psaking it, but it wasn't a absolute chiv daraisa. It seems to be a machlekes discussion between Rambam and the Ramban. Tanaban. Arba mishmaris alumina gela. Four mishmaris came up from gela. Four mishmaris came up from the original 24. This is actually an unfortunate occurrence in Klal Yisrael's history. We're talking about in the times of Ezra, when they came back for the second Beis Hamikdash, many of the people were very settled. They're very settled already in Bavel, and they were in Gaul's Bavel, and they were okay where they were. And when they had the opportunity to go back up, many did not go back up. And here you do some simple math. From the not just many from Klal Yisrael, from the Kayanim, the Mishmaris, from the 24 Mishmaris, Nebuch, only 4 went back up. The other 20, right, the rest of them, that were whoever was still around, remained, they were very comfortable where they were, and they didn't want to go back up. It was a big blemish on Klal Yisrael's record. Arba mishmaris alum b'negayla. Four mishmaris came up from the Mishra 24 back to from the second Mishra was being rebuilt. Ve'elu hein, who are these four? Who are the four that went up? Yediyah, Charam, Pashkar, Ve'imer. The four are Yediyah, Charam, Pashkar, and Imer. That's the name of the four mishmaris that went up. Amdu Nevi'im, Shebe'ne'im. So Nevi'im amongst those that came back to Eretz Yisrael, they got up V'chilkam Tapav Chav Zayin Aveiz, V'chilkam Amidim Alas Marba. They divided up these four mishmaris that came back up. They divided them into 24 different mishmaris. They made 24 out of these four families. Basically, each family, I mean, simple math, each one of the four was divided into 6. And 4 times 6 is 24. So they wrote the new names of the new redivided mishmaris out of these four families into 24 on different pieces of paper. Balavanas b'kapi, they stuck them in a lottery. Remember the copy we had this by the Sir Lashem and Sir Lazazel, right? You have the lottery, you have the two tokens, two tickets. One says by the two goats, by Yom Kippur. One says Lashem, one says Lazazel. So the claim would stick his hand into the copy in the lottery. So here we have a lottery legabi these. Mishmaris. By Yidio, so a representative from the Mishpacha of Yidio came, the Natal Chalka V'Chavei of Sheish, and he drew out his portion, and the other portions of his Chabura came, he drew out the 6 portions for him and his Chabura for their order. Bacharim, the Natal Chalka V'Chavei of Sheish, then Charim came, and he took out the portions for his new small chabura plus the other 5 that were from his family for total 6. V'chein pashal v'chein imer v'chein es nevim shibnei nevim were made a tonight amongst them shafilu yairav roish mishmaris ayla. Even if the family rav who was the head of all the mishmaris would come back, and that was by the first base of English, would now come back with to tshuva so to speak and come back to Yisrael la yitcha yidel mikayma yidio now that was who was placed in the first of all the mishmaris and him and his 6 mishmaris came first, he would not be displaced from his position for and for Yayarav, who is usually, was originally the head of all the Mishmaras, Ella Yidya Iker Yayarav Tafalei. Yidya remained the Iker. He became the first Mishmar and the head of the new Mishmaras, and Yayarav would be secondary. He'd be subordinate to Yidya, who now took over the leadership. The Yisraelim of Mishmar Miskatzim Aram. We said the Yisraelim in these Mishmarim would gather in the they would gather in their towns, the current Maaseh Bereishis, and they would read from Maaseh Bereishis, mononymously. How do we know this idea of reading from Maaseh Bereishis during the Mamadis that you read from the Sukkah Maaseh Bereishis? Where do we see this? Amar Rakabacha, Amar Vasi, Il Moli Mamadis, if not for the fact that the Mamadis, then it's Kaimish Shemayim Arts. If not for the Mamadis, which it really means the Mamadis together with the Kabbarnas that are brought, remember, the Mamadis are really there to support the Kabbarnas that are being brought. If not for the Kabbarnas that are being brought, which the Mamadis are supporting, the world would cease to exist. Shinemar, Vayemar Hashem, Elikim, Bama'idah Kir Hashem. Avraham Avinu says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how do I know that I'm going to inherit the land of Eretz Yisrael? How do I know that we're going to conquer this land? Amar Avram. So what was the real conversation? Avram was telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ben Shalaylam, Master of the world, Shem Yisrael Chaitin Vilfadecha. Maybe Klai Yisrael is going to do a Chait Chalila in front of you, which is inevitable that over time Klai Yisrael does the Chatoyim, Ata Islam, Kitar Mabel, Kitar Flaga. And you're going to do to them, you're going to do to Klai Yisrael like you did to the Dar Mabel and the Dar Flaga, destroying those generations. Maybe do the same to Klai Yisrael. Amar Loi Lav Kosh Baruch Hu Zen. I think Avraham was defending his children in the future, even in the event that Chalila they would sin, that they shouldn't be destroyed. I will not destroy them. Give me a sign that I'll know that we're going to inherit their destroy, and they will. And furthermore, there will be some sort of mechanism to have a kapara for this chait that you say you're not going to destroy them with. Take from me three calves and three goats. This is, of course, the famous bris ben abzarim. So the point is that Kadosh Baruch Hu is demonstrating through this bris ben abzarim two things: that there's a treaty that Klai Yisrael will not be destroyed, but more than that, that Klai Yisrael will always have a means to get a kapara. And how do they get the kapara? They get the kapara through karbanas. They'll be able to get a kapara, and therefore don't worry about them being destroyed. They get a kapara through karbanas. Before we go further, with Avraham's next question, we're saying that Avraham was concerned that maybe Kadosh Baruch Hu was going to do a dar mabel, a dar flag again. We know that there was a promise, right? That's the famous idea for the rainbow. There's a promise idea why it's not such a good idea to point out that there's a rainbow, is because rainbow is a symbol that Kadosh Baruch Hu made a promise won't destroy the world, which they say is symbolic, that really there was reason for the world to be destroyed. Hashem is having a rainbow flash to show, I'm keeping my promise, I'm not going to destroy the world. Okay, so therefore you don't proliferate. The point is, but there's a promise, the world won't have Mabel again. So what was Avraham's concern? That maybe Klai Yisrael is going to sin, and there's going to be a Mabel. As I affect the Achorin and Marzkiyas answers, that Kadosh Baruch Hu promised not to bring a Mabel of water. But Mabel was just a water, was a way, a form of destroying the world. There could be other ways to destroy the world. There could be a Mabel of Eish, a marvel, so to speak, borrow the term, but a fire. Maybe there could be other mechanisms. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not short on ideas, on ways for punishment or for destruction. And therefore, yes, he wasn't concerned about a marvel of Mayim per se, but the concept of a destruction, he was concerned about. That's Maaseh Bereishis. So the Chum answers that the promise was not to bring a marvel on the entire world, but the marvel on one nation was able to be happened, and it did happen. Who did it happen to, famously? Mitzrayim. The reason why Mitzrayim was we're throwing the babies in the Yam is because Kadosh Baruch Hu promised not to be a Mabel, and therefore they said we'll be saved. We won't punish us with the Mabel because he promised not to. Let's kill the babies, the Jewish babies, in the Nile, we can throw the babies in the Yam, and nothing's going to happen to us. But they made a mistake that Kadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't be a Mabel on the entire world, but on one nation, which is what he did by Kriyas Yamsuf. He brought a Mabel on one nation, namely on the Mitzrayim. So again, that was Avraham's concern over here. Sifsicham says Avraham's concern over here also was that Akash Baruch perhaps could punish Klai Yisrael with a Mabel as one nation. Okay. Says the Gemara, I'm the fun of. So Avraham Avinu says to Akash Baruch, that's great. Karbanas are an atonement when there's a Beis Hamikdash. Remember Shalom, ten of us Beis Hamikdash. When Beis Hamikdash is around, we understand that it's a Kapara. When Beis Hamikdash is not around, Mati Aleim, what's going to be the protection of the Kapara for Klai Yisrael? I'm really Akash Baruch answered Avraham Avinu, Kavar Tikanti Lem, say the Karbanas. We just referenced this yesterday when we were discussing speaking up Sukkim, Torah, Balpeh. You're not supposed to speak a Torah, the Varmashah, but Slav, Yetar, Shalom, Balpeh. We discussed the idea of Karbanas. We actually discussed back then, maybe we jumped the gun a day early from our first Shachtashli to the importance of Karbanas, because Karbanas could be, based on our Gemara, a key amidst the Reiser, being a carbon. Saying Karbanas, reading the Parsha of Karbanas, is a key of the Reiser, like the Gemara says over here. Amalei Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, "Kvar tikantam seder karbanos." Bismach karban lefanai. When they read the seder karbanos in front of me, malani aleim kila kruvim lefanai v'nei meichlam eslav v'naisam. When they read the parsha karbanos in front of me, I'm malah as if they brought the carbon and I'm meichel all the vinus. It's mamish like bringing the carbon chatas, reading the parsha of chatas. I am malah as if Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm malah as if the carbon's brought. And again, that's the importance, the emphasis that Shech Tashlita was saying about saying karbanos. Maybe even in the place, even at the expense of Pesukah Dezimra itself, because karbanos could be a kiyum mitzvah d'oraisa, being a karban, it's actually a conversation. Is saying the karbanos like being a karban? It's kamay, it's like, but it's, you know, not the same. Or is it mamish the same? Chafetz Chaim says it's better. Chafetz Chaim, we pointed out yesterday already, Chafetz Chaim says, not just saying the parshas, actually learning the sugya, which the Gemara elsewhere, when it brings this idea, the Gemara says, kala isik and teres kabanas is ki'ilu, they brought a carbon. That mashmais is more than just reading the psukim, it's more tuing avduch, it's getting involved in the sugya. Kala isik is if you brought a carbon. And the Chafetz Chaim is akdama to lakuta lachas, which is his pirish on kachem. Chafetz Chaim is famous for, he wrote, famous for the Mishabura and many others for him, but he famously wrote a pirish on kachem. He used to walk around with a suit, he used to walk around with the clothing prepared, he used to keep with him, meheri abanabe samigdash, and we should be prepared to do the avodah. So his main reason why people should be learning kachim was in order that we should be prepared. Meir bana mesa mikdash, and we need to be prepared to avaidah. We have to be prepared, and therefore have to be knowledgeable in kachim. That was his main reason. But in that same akdama, in the kudalachas he brings, besides for being prepared, we need it today because we can't bring an oila, we can't bring a chatas today. Unfortunately, our learning the sugya, it takes the place. But again, the Chafetz Chaim writes over there, the learning the sugya is better than actually saying the psukim. Learning the sugya itself is even a higher level. Okay, now is it a full kapar or not? We're saying reading the psukim malal ani aleichem as if you brought the carbon. Again, kamay. It's as if. Is it mamish the same or not? Nah, what's the nafkamina? When the base of English is rebuilt in Mitzchem, if a person was chayav achatas and he learned the psukim and he read it and he did all the neshama parmes fasenu, does he have to bring the carbon anymore, or he's put for the carbon because he already did neshama parmes fasenu? Chikilei says avada. It's more like a carbon ashtali. Ashtali, to one knows for sure if he did a chet or not, provides temporary protection. So too, these reading the psukim and these learning the sugyas is in the place of a carbon as a temporary protection. But once the carbon is able to be brought, it's not a person would of course be chayav a carbon again. Chafetz Chaim says no. Again, like we said before, it's even better than the carbon itself, perhaps. Yet it's better, learning the sugya is better than reading the psukim stamazai, and learning the sugya could be better than bringing the carbon itself. That's Chafetz Chaim writes, unbelievable. If you have the carbon, certainly, according to Chafetz Chaim, we would not have to bring in the carbon when the mishmashas are built. The Chikri Lev brings a raya to Esad, a beautiful raya. We have the famous Gemara Shabbos, where the Gemara says that one should not read La'araner because Shemayate may tilt the araner, may tilt it, that would cause an act of kiboy or act of avara. And Rabbi Shmuel Elisha says, no, I'll be careful. I can read L'Araner, and I'll be careful. I'll be cognizant of Shabbos, and I won't be mata. What happened? Kara v'hitta. He read to L'Araner. I think it's not from Gidal, from Basic Gim over there. He says he read to the L'Araner, and he ended up being mata. So he wrote on a pinky, he wrote on a paper, that I, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, when the base missions are built, I'm chayiv to karmachatas. I'm leaving Gomorrah. I'm chayiv to karmachatas. I have to bring karmachatas. Ask the Chikri Lev, why do you have to do all that? Just read the psukim. Just read the psukim, and then he's putter. Why do you have to write a ledger that he's chayev? Teretz is, Chikri Lev says, right, it's right to himself, that what? That it's a temporary watch. Yes, of course you read the psukim. Of course you learned the sugya. That's a temporary kapara. When the base mission is built, avad, you have to bring an actual carbon. You can't be relying on the psukim. Again, even the Chafetz Chaim, the first point that agrees, that when there's the base of Migdash, the mice of Kerbin takes precedence over the Pesukim. But now when there's no base of Migdash, Chafetz Chaim held that reading the Pesukim, learning the Gemaras are equal, if not better, and we don't have to bring replacement when the base of Migdash is built. One more point on this idea of Mishal Parmes Faseinu. Does this apply to other mitzvahs as well? Is it dafka by karbanos, hashama, parmes, faseinu? Is it by karbanos, our mouths, our lips, our reading of psukim can take the place? Or does it apply to other mitzvahs? Chafetz Chaim seems to be mashma that it's dafka over here by kachem. He says actually that's the reason why is there gemaras on kachem? Why are so many gemaras on kachem and not on zoroyim? If anything, I guess, yes, we don't have pashtas, we say that the dinim of Chumas and Maestas, we still keep it, but pashtas drop on them because we're not living in Yishuv, in Eretz Yisrael, properly with the Pesach Migdash, with the regular Kedusha of old, so therefore it's only Darabanan. But still, L'Chorit should be just as Negea, as Kachem, if not more so, at least with Darabanan we're doing it, whatever we're doing Kachem with Darabanan. Answer the Chafetz Chaim, because for Kachem we have a promise of neshama parmes v'seinu, that learning the sugya, reading the psukim, is tantamount to bringing the carbon. We don't have that by Chumas and Maestro. And therefore, that's why there's more of a focus, emphasis, as a Gemara, on Kachem, and not on Zeruah. Very interesting idea for the Chafetz Chaim. So it sounds like very clearly that this concept applies specifically to the mitzvahs of Kachem, not other mitzvahs. However, many other Achorinim disagree with the Chafetz Chaim, the Taz on Chumash, Taz on Sefer Divrei David on Chumash, and the Taz writes over there that how is Yaakov? Yaakov says, Im Lavangarti Vechar Ata. Lavangarti, what do we say? What does it mean? Targag mitzvah shamarti. How do you keep targag mitzvahs? He didn't have the ability to keep most of the mitzvahs. That's targag. Says the Taz, by learning Torah, he kept all the mitzvahs. If I learn all the mitzvahs of Torah, any mitzvah of the Torah that I learn, learning the Torah is considered keeping that mitzvah, learning the Torah. Very clearly that this idea of learning it applies to not just karbanos, to other mitzvahs as well. That's the Taz. Ben Yerada says, what does it mean the pasuk says, beficha ki karva davar lecha mayin, beficha vavcha la'seisa? It's beficha vavcha. What does it mean, beficha la'seisa? It's beficha vavcha la'seisa. What does it mean, in your mouth to do it? It's a reference to the key of mitzvahs by learning them. If one learns the mitzvahs and speaks about them with his mouth, that's a key of the mitzvah by speaking about it. Very clear again that the Ben Yehuda is learning that one can become a mitzvah by learning about it and speaking about it. For the Meshech Chachma says as well, Kosha Dibar Hashem, Nasa V'Nishma. Nasa is the asiyas of mitzvahs, as it sounds, it's simple. The Nishma, typically we say Nishma means listen, to heed, not to do averis, to be passive and not to be over iser, but we say Nasa V'Nishma can mean, the word Nishma means it's the key of mitzvahs. Ayday Nishma, Ayday learning Torah. The key mitzvah is without the Nasa, I'm not doing the physical act of the mitzvah, I'm doing it through learning Torah. Again, another source, we have Meshech Chachma Ben Yehuda and Taz, all arguing with Chavos Chaim and saying that this concept of the Shalom Parmas of Seinu is not just by Kavanas, it's by all mitzvahs, learning about the mitzvah and learning the Torah related to the mitzvah also would be considered key of the mitzvah. Nafkaminas, let's say Chalila Soma, I'm just getting, there's thousands of Nafkaminas, but based on Nafkaminas, let's say a person is in a place, he's stuck, and he doesn't have tefillin. Now, but Chalila, they have tefillin one day. So there would be an inyan according to Meshech Chachma, Taz, Ben Yehuda, learn some halachas about tefillin. Learning halachas of tefillin would be somewhat of a key of the mitzvah of tefillin, even though it doesn't have tefillin. I'm not saying it replaces it, but it would be somewhat of a key, somewhat of a key. That gets back to the other conversation, is the Shalom Parim the same level as not? But the point is, it's at least some sort of key, according to all these achrayim, is some sort of key of the mitzvah. One other quick point, I know it's a godly commercial. We have a license to speak out more than usual, and also we're okay on time so far. We have referenced earlier in this conversation between Avraminu and Kadosh Baruch Hu. Avraminu said that perhaps you can destroy class when they do a chait like Dar Mabel and like Dar Flaga. Right, so we said that Mabel catch already. Mabel wasn't happening again. We gave a couple answers. Mabel could happen to one nation, not the world. Maybe a Mabel of something else, not water. A Mabel of fire. Okay, but there's a fascinating Rashi which doesn't get the usual amount of press because it's the end of Parshas Zayach. Of course, Parshas Zayach, the main focus is everyone learns. So growing up, we focus on being in the parasha, the Mabel. Then you get the Dar Flaga. We focus on the Dar Flaga, but there's a Rashi very much towards the end of the parasha in Parshas Zayach. Rashi asks very unique Rashi. Rashi asks, "V'chi eizu kasha." Which was worse, Shadar Mabel or Shadar Flaga? Once we reference both, let's just go through this fascinating Rashi. What was worse, Dar Mabel or Dar Flaga? Eilu le Pashya Baker. Rashi says, let's think for a second. The Mabel, people had typhus. They're typhus. But they weren't Pashya Baker. They weren't rebelling against Hashem. They just were giving into their typhus. Maybe that by desire, but they were. It wasn't outright just direct rebellion. It was just giving into their typhus. Whereas the Dar Flaga was specifically being Pashya Baker going against Hashem. But let's think about what happened. Dar Mabel was wiped out completely. Dar Flaga, Kadosh Baruch Hu changed the language, got to fights, it disbanded, he messed up their plans. But they weren't totally destroyed. Dar Mabel was totally destroyed. So on the one hand, it would seem the hate of the Dar Mabel was much worse than the hate of the Dar Flaga was much worse than the hate of the Dar Mabel. Their mamish being kafir be'ikr, they're trying to fight Hashem, yet their punishment seemed to have been less onerous than the punishment of the Mabel. What's pshat? Yes, Rashi. Answers Rashi, Ella is a major yisayid in life. Shadara Mabel hoy gazlonim vayse meriva beineim lekach nevdu v'ilu hoy noyge ahava v'reis beineim shenemar safa achas v'dvar machadim lamanta shesanoi machleikis v'gadol hashalom. You're right. The chait of Dara Mabel were not necessarily as egregious. I mean, it's terrible behavior, but as Dara Flaga, which is mamish kafir Kadosh Baruch Hu. But you know what Dara Flaga had? They had shalom. They had one united cause. They were all together, Safa Achas Mol Noshen, one goal, common goal, to fight. Their goal was a horrible goal, to fight Kadosh Baruch Hu, but there was unity. And with this unity, even though the Aveira was much worse, they had a protection, a measure of protection, and therefore the punishment wasn't nearly as bad as the punishment by Dar Mabel, where when they were lacking, stealing each other's wives, stealing each other's money, that was Mamish Kesela, that was the opposite of Shalom. Since they're missing in Shalom, even if the Aveira wasn't as chamer as the Aveira Dar Flaga, they got the much worse punishment because they were lacking in Shalom, the importance of Shalom. Unbelievable Rashi, it's not a very, definitely not a typical Rashi, and a Rashi that unfortunately is not proliferate enough. There's more about this. So if that's the case, there was a bomb gosh, we won't spoke out. Again, we'll detour drop further. If the case is that Shalom is so important, and that's what Dar Flaga was saved compared to Dar Mabel, so what did Kadosh Baruch Hu do to mess up Dar Flaga? He changed their languages. He made them understand each other. They got into infighting, and then they disbanded. So if that was the Mila, the Milo Shalom, why go directly into that Milo and undo that Milo in order to punish them? Wouldn't it make sense to find some other way to mess them up? Make it that they're not successful in building the tower. Make the tower just fall down, meaning that's what the Akash did, but make it not via argument. Why Dafka take away the Shalom? A very starka ara, and the Mefarshim asks on the outcome of this Rashi. So when I mentioned this question again a bunch of years back, I asked him this question, and he said, Hagufa. He said, the power of Shalom is so powerful that Kaviyacha, Kadosh Baruch Hu made the world, he wouldn't be able to, whatever these words mean, he wouldn't be able to defeat the Dar Flaga without getting rid of the Shalom. Shalom is so powerful, it's Vayter, that's part of Rashi. Shalom is so powerful, he had to disband them in order to defeat them. Even Kadosh Baruch Hu couldn't defeat a power of Shalom, so to speak, he had to disband it. That's how he defeated them. Beautiful idea for Keter. Rabbi Yechon Zweig gives a different mahalach, it really is a marsha, which we discussed in the parashas by Sisper, by later on, by Kisamsev. But the basic idea was, just without spending too much time, the Yechon Zweig Shlita, his idea is that there's two types of Shalom. There's Shalom because we have inherent Shalom, and there's Shalom of convenience. You and I both want the same goal, so we're going to be Shalom. But it's not really Shalom. It's a fake Shalom. There's a real Shalom, and there's a fake Shalom. A fake Shalom, Akash Baruch could disband. Yes, we're Shalom. Yes, that's why they got a weaker punishment, a lesser punishment than the Bnei Mabel. But Shalom that's there only for self-serving purposes, not because we really have Shalom, also is lacking, and that wouldn't be a problem for Akash Baruch to disband, to ruin that Shalom. Okay, fine. Back to the Gemara. We said that... Tanavon, Anshe Mishmar. Back to the story of the Mishmaris. Anshe Mishmar, Mispalma Karban Achem, Shiz Kaparazan. Anshe Mishmar would daven that they're really referring to the Anshe Maimon, the Yisraelim. They would daven that the carbon of their brethren will be accepted. Anshe Maimon, Miskans, the Miskans, Kashm Talatinis, they would sit in the shul, gathered, and have four fasts, which fasts? Bashani Bishabas, Bashishi Bishabas, Ravi, Bachamishi, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Bashani, now, we explain what each day corresponds. We asked through the psukim of my separations, what each day, what the focus of the tefillos were on each particular day of fasting. B'sheina yardayam, on the Monday, they would daven on behalf of those that were traveling at sea. The idea is because on Monday in the Bria Sa'ilam, on the second day, it was talking about separating the waters, right? B'kir Shemayim separates, talks about the waters, so we daven for the sea travelers. Shisha al-Hochei Midbaris on the Tuesday, they daven for the Hochei Midbaris, because again, the pasuk over there discussed about the Sarai Hayabasha on the Tuesday of creation, Revi on the fourth day of creation, so on the fourth day of Mamadas, they daven al-Askara, Shleitipa al-Tanekis, that they shouldn't get this terrible disease of Askara, right, which we discussed many times. It's considered the most chamer of the 900 some odd ways to die. The throat constricts and the person can't breathe. The idea over here is because it relates to Yihima Iris. Yihima Iris means let there be light, let there be the Ma'iris and Shemayim, and we dash the lashon of let there not be a curse, Ma'aras, lashon of cursing, as Rashi explains. So Askra is like a form of a curse. Chamishi shel Ubaris Menekes, on the Thursday, they daven that the Mubaris, the pregnant woman and the nursing woman, Ubaris the Apilo, the pregnant woman, shouldn't have an Aphil, and Menekes, Shenikos, Benayim, they should have enough milk to nurse the children. Why is that on the Thursday? Because, of course, the Thursday was the Pasuk Yishitzu Amayim Sheres Nefesh Chayit. It talks about reproduction, about having more life. So therefore, it makes sense to daven for those things on the Thursday. Rav Shabbos, Rav Shabbos, Rav Shabbos, didn't fast. Make Kav Shabbos, Kav Shabbos. Kav Chayim Shabbos, Kav Chayim Shabbos, Shabbos itself, there's no fast. Echo Shabbos, my time alay. Why on Sunday was there no fast? Now, the truth is, the Mishnah gave a reason. The Mishnah said, because if you're going to fast on Sunday, the day after tining and indulging, it could lead to a form, the Mishnah actually was, it could lead to death, which we explained means like a form of death, not mamish full death, but a form of death. But the Gemara, interesting enough, is not going to quote the Mishnah's reason. The Gemara is going to bring three other reasons other than the Mishnah's reason of the contrast from Einig to fasting from Shabbat Sunday. The Gemara brings three other reasons why we don't fast on Sunday. Shumar Achmed Amar Meshe Shlishi Yitzira. I skipped. Amar Bechrim. The name Nitzrim. Because of the Nitzrim. Nitzrim literally means Yeshua Nitzrim. Christianity. For them, Sunday is an important day. It's like a holiday. It's like our Shabbos. Kav Yachol. And you're going to fast on their day. It's going to be insulting. That's a simple taich. What's the obvious problem with this? That this takana was said of not fasting, fasting Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and not fasting Friday, Shabbat, Sunday was in existence already by the first base of Mikdash. That's many, many years before the Nitzrim existed. So what does that mean? That because Sunday is a holiday by the Goyim, we're not going to fast. As a effect of Masha, Baam Gasha, Masha answers, he suggests that maybe the concept of Sunday being like a Yom Tov existed right before Christianity existed as a religion. There was other forms of worship, other forms of that existed, and they held Sunday to be special. There is another Malach HaFkad who says, one of the Chayim would say, that really, that we have to read this teretz, Nitzrim doesn't mean the Neitzer meaning the Christianity. It means Neitzer mean because of those that were created, which is going to be the next Teretz. It really is the same as the next Teretz. Let's read it inside. What's the next Teretz? We know the third day after Bris, the third day after anything, is typically the most traumatic day. The third day after Yetzira, mankind was created on Friday. Sunday's the third day from creation. Therefore, it's not a good day to fast because the third day from creation. So someone attached that. So Neitzer meant also the same thing. So not really three answers over here. It's just these first two answers are one and the same. Okay, so either it's because of the Sunday is a celebration for the Neitzer, or it's because the third day of the Yetzira, or Rish Lakish brings the third reason. Rish Lakish Amar, Mei Shem Yisera, because we lost the Shem Yisera. Then Rish Lakish Shem Yisera, by Adam, Erev Shabbos. The person gets the Shem Yisera. It comes to the person, Erev Shabbos. But Shabbos, and what Shabbos, the Shem Yisera is taken away. Shemar, Shavas, Vayinafash. You rested and was refreshed. That's a simple Taich. And we darshan it, Kivash, Shavas, once the Shabbos was finished. Once you finish Shabbos, Vayi Nefesh is an abbreviation of Vayi of the Nefesh. Woe is to us that we lose the Nefesh. What do we do about Shabbos? Because this, of course, we smell Besamim. The reason why we smell Besamim by Avdallah is because we're trying to get an appeasement for the Nefesh for losing the Nisham Yisera. This is a discussion we discussed many times in the past. Is there a Nisham Yisera by Yom Tov as well, or is it Dafka by Shabbos? Machlekes Nirshayim, whether it's a Nisham Yisera by Yom Tov as well, or Dafka by Shabbos. One of the riots they bring is that Shabbos has Besamim at the end by Avdallah, Yom Tov doesn't. So there'll be a riot that Yom Tov does not have a Nisham Yisera. Others want to say, unbelievable, that Avad Yom Tov is a Shem Yisera, and you know why there's no Besamim? Because we keep it. By Shabbos, the Shem Yisera leaves. Yom Tov, whatever we made and connected to the Shem Yisera on Yom Tov, it stays with us, it doesn't leave, and therefore we don't need Besamim. That's one of the explanations, very interesting, that Yom Tov, we keep the Shem Yisera, Shabbos, not the Chassam Sefer gives an explanation. The idea is because, because Yom Tov is Niskadish Ayde Klai Yisrael, something we do. We sanctify the month, we set up the day that ultimately relates to Yom Tov. Shabbos is a part of the calendar from creation. It just happens every 7 days. Nothing that we do to, obviously we have made Kiddush, but it's Kiddush whether we make Kiddush or not. Shabbos really is Kiddush anyway, and therefore since we have less involvement, therefore the Shem Yisera is less connected to us and it leaves, whereas Yom Tov, where we have more involvement, therefore stays with us. That's the Hezber. Okay, but that's again a machlekes whether or not Bechal Yom Tov has an Shem Yisera. On the flip side, one of the riots that Yom Tov has a Shem Yisera is because if you have Yom Tov that follows Shabbos, we don't have Besamim. When we have Avdallah by Kiddush, we make a mention that Mavdal by Kiddush to Kiddush, but we don't have Besamim. Why not? Teretz says, because the Shem Yisera remains, you get a new Shem Yisera for Yom Tov. That'll be a simple answer. Taisa says elsewhere that no, Lav Dafka Zedariah, the reason why is because just like Besamim brings Einik to the Guf, and the Einik to the Guf takes care of losing Shem Yisera, a Yom Tov, you have the Yom Tov meal, the Yom Tov itself, even if there's no Shem Yisera, helps appease the blow of losing Shem Yisera, and therefore that it's not a riot the Yom Tov has the Shem Yisera necessarily. Says the Mishnah further, we read that Psukim, we say it's from the beginning of Bereshis, Be'er Mishim Bereshis Yerikia, and the second day you go for Yerikia. And then the next parsha, Tana, Bereshis Peshtayim, the parsha Bereshis, which is five Psukim, is divided into two. Yerikia Bechad, Yerikia, which is Psukim Vav Zaynachas, three Psukim, is read by one. Now we know typically an Aliyah is supposed to be three Psukim, and we know he's supposed to have three Aliyahs corresponding to Tarnavim Ksuvim, Kain Levi Yisrael, three Aliyahs, and for a total really of 10 Psukim, actually, three, and one should be four. That's the Tchila Barik brings, of course, that if you have a parsha of 9 Psukim, that's also fine. You don't have to have 10 Psukim. That 10 Psukim is not Makiv, but 3 is Makiv. That's what we're going to focus on now. Pishlam Yerikia Bechad, Yerikia can read by one person, because you have Tos Psukim, you have 3 Psukim. Ela Beishim Psukim, Hakim, Divide Beishim Psukim, Hey Psukim, it's only 5 Psukim. And we learned, Hakar Beter, Alif Psukim, each person has to read at least 3 Psukim. Rav Amar, the Eitz is Delik. You skip. You repeat. So, like Taisa points out, like we do every Shchedesh, you read Pasuk Aleph, Beis, and Gimel, and then you repeat Pasuk Gimel, and you read Gimel, Dalet, and Hey. That's how Rav learns. That's how we get two Aliyahs out of five Pesukim. Shmuel Amar Pesuk. No, you stop in the middle of Pasuk Gimel. So you read Pasuk Aleph, Beis, half of Pasuk Gimel. That's like considered like three Pesukim, and then the second half of Pasuk Gimel, Dalet, and Hey. Rav Amar Daylik, my time of Pesuk. Why does Rav not say split like Shmuel Chertz Kedetsa? Kasavar Kol Pesuk Doy Pesuk Meisha. Any Pesuk Meisha Beni didn't split. And on the Pesukina, we can't split a Pesuk that Meisha Beni didn't split. Shmuel Amar Pesuk says no. You split. You know why? There was a sar gadol by Rechinia gadol to divide a pasuk for hitterli lufsik al tanaik shabbos rabban, and he only allowed me to divide pasukim for tanaik shabbos rabban for children to teach them halachas lamed asuyan in order to teach them Torah. They can't contain the whole pasuk in their mind at once, so I can split the pasuk to teach them one half and another half. But otherwise, splitting a pasuk is not allowed to be done. So how is Shmuel saying that for my mothers it was okay, it was a license? Shmuel answer hagufa hazutai ma'am shleivsha. The reason why by tanaik is you split it. Because there's no other option. There's no other way other than to split it because the children won't be able to learn unless you split the psukim. Meaning, you don't split psukim Stamazai. But if a makom shteyefsher, you could split a pasuk. Some want to say that splitting a pasuk by a snachta is not considered splitting a pasuk. A snachta itself is almost like a quasi chatzi pasuk. Some want to say that agamar there wouldn't be a raya agamar l'chur not like that, because otherwise that would have been simply a agamar. Everyone should agree that the simply it says split by a snachta. Obviously, we see it's a machlekes, and even Shmuel saying only because shteyefsher. Ushmuel amar paisek my time medali. Okay, he's saying you have a license to split because yefsher, therefore a split. Why not just repeat like Rav says? Because those coming in, those leaving, will not realize they read three pesukim. Meaning, those who came late will see he's talking pasuk gimel. He'll think the first aliyah was only alpha base. He'll think there's an aliyah of only two pesukim. Those who leave early will see that you read alpha base and gimel, and there's only dal and hey left to this section. They're going to think, oh, you can have the next section in aliyah of just dal and hey. So the people are going to make a mistake and think you read only less than three pesukim, and therefore, it's better to split the pasuk in half in order not that people leaving, coming, going shouldn't essentially make a gzeir because those that are leaving and coming late. But okay, make a gzeir that they shouldn't get the wrong impression. Says the Marlis Gemara's Meisve Parsha Shishah Pesukim Kuren Eis Beshnayim. A Parsha six Pesukim can be read by two people. The Shachamisha Biyachin Vimarisha Kari Gimel. A Parsha of only five Pesukim is read by a single person. And if the first person read three Pesukim, Hasheni Kari Shayim Parsha Zuv Ech Parsha Echeres. And if he did stop after three Pesukim, the next guy's got to read the last two and then start a Pesuk in the next Parsha. But doesn't give the Eitza of splitting. Vish Emin Gimel. Some say that he reads three pesukim into the next parsha. Because he never started a new parsha and read only one pasuk, even though he needed only one pasuk because he was short only one. He read three because when he started a new parsha, he read three. The point is, none of the eitzes of Rav, which is to repeat the middle pasuk, or of Shmuel to split the pasuk, was given. This price is very clearly, you always read at least three pesukim, and you don't give the eitzes of Rav and Shmuel. According to Rav, why don't we repeat the middle pasuk? According to Shmuel, why don't we split the pasuk? Shani Hasam, the Islay Ravcha. We're talking over there where you have the option of going to the next parshas. Oh, we by Mamadas, we had specific days. We want to be in the Mamadas, really only the first parsha on the first day. It wasn't enough, so we read parsha one and parsha two. But we wanted to contain the reading to the relevant parshas. Over there, where you have leeway to read more, of course, that's Eitzah. Everyone agrees that you can just read a few more psukim. That's the best Eitzah. We're talking about when you restrict it to specific psukim. Over there, we try to make like we do by Rosh Chodesh. We have these specific psukim by Rosh Chodesh, yet we want to get before Aliyahs, so therefore we repeat one of the psukim in the parsha of in order to get the two aliyahs out of those five psukim. In order to get two aliyahs, we repeat the parsha here too. Same idea. We want to specifically have these psukim, and therefore we have to repeat repeat or split the middle pasuk. We'll pause over here.